When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally that you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, I said to you, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
For regulations.
Regulations.
Some regulations.
Have regulations.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Province here on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right, the mercy of the wicked is cruel, and I am King Ginger. And today we have, we're going to talk about local city councils today, because I have had quite the experience over the past, Wednesday. Yesterday, I had, we went to go speak at Apologia Church. Let's set the plan here, because this was a big deal for our church. It's something we did. And so at Apologia Church, we went and we had everybody come to speak at the city council meeting. We had 5 people come, actually. But we had the entire church come to fill the entire seats of the church. My hands were moving like Beto O'Rourke right there. So we had all these people come and to fill the seats of Apologia Church, and it was tremendous. A lot of people showed up, so much so that one of the council members said the following.
Mayor, also there are individuals that have cases in front of the city today. They may be still in line outside. Can we make sure that they get in?
I think that is an excellent.
Have we done that already? Okay, thanks.
So, according to Sal, who's with Councilman Sal, who's one of the guys who says he's libertarian. We're going to find out in a minute that he's not, but he's one of the libertarian guys. He asks, hey, can we make sure that the people that have business can actually get into the building? Because we packed it out. We packed out the city council. And the plan is, normally how things work, is that the city council of Phoenix gives you 15 minutes. That's 3 minutes for 5 speakers at the beginning of the meeting. And then 3 minutes for each of the 5 speakers at the end. So there's a total of 30 minutes for citizen comments. And when we got there, we were told that there's too much business that needs to be done today. So they're going to push everything to the end. And they've never done that before. It was kind of interesting. They've never done that before. Several weeks ago, they were debating whether or not the city was going to steal money from the taxpayers to build a stadium for for the basketball team, the Phoenix Suns. And there was debate for hours and hours. And they never pushed the citizen comments back. But it's a little bit different this time, because it was Mayor Kate Gallegos' first meeting as a city council member, as a new mayor of Phoenix. And so we know some things about her. She is very much in favor of Planned Parenthood. She campaigned alongside Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood campaigned alongside of her. Some of the escorts at Planned Parenthood have their photos taken with her. And so we knew as soon as she was elected that she was not going to be very happy with the pro-life message that we were going to bring. And so we wanted to make a statement. We wanted to come there on the very first day. We were going to have people speak during citizen comments. And then when everybody was done speaking, the plan was just to empty the chamber and leave. We were going to do that, except for the fact that they proposed a quorum. Now, essentially what happened was they said that there's so much items to be discussed today that we need to push the comments back for fear of losing quorum, for fear of citizens for the city council members actually leaving before they were able to vote on it. And so that is what they did. They wouldn't allow citizen comments at the beginning, and they pushed them back to the end. Now, let's actually play that clip of them doing this real quick, because I think this is important.
Because of the possibility of losing a quorum before today's business has been conducted, I'd like to suspend the rules and change the order of business so that citizen comments are heard at the end of today's agenda.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to suspend the rules and move the citizens' comments to the end of the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Second.
Voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All against?
No.
Motion passes.
Okay. So that was that. There were, you know what? I just realized there was one person that said no to it. And I'm wondering if that was Jim Mooring. He works for the Center for Arizona Policy. Hasn't really spoken to us much about anything ever. But it was interesting that they voted no to that. Interesting. So anyways, I just noticed that. So they voted essentially to push the citizen comments to the side. So somehow they were alerted that we were there. They probably just saw all the people and knew we were all with the church. They probably saw all the little kids and figured that out. One of the guys had some snacks and water for his kids, and they were actually told, this is true, they were actually told by security that they don't normally pull snacks and water from people, but it was the order from the mayor explicitly implied about us. So they knew we were coming. She knew we were coming. She knows who we are. It's good to know. I'm glad Mayor Gallego knows who we are and that we're there. And I wish every city council in the United States of America had members had citizens that would bring fear, like Kate Gallego had of us, where she has to change rules and make sure that kids can't have snacks and water. You know, because I mean, she's in favor of murdering children. Why not starve them? I guess. So anyway, we're there, and I told Jeff, I said, well, if they're not going to let us speak till the end, we should just get up and leave. And we were about to do that. I think that was pretty much the plan. We were just going to walk out and leave the speakers that were there, because some people took off work and, you know, they had their kids and the kids were getting antsy. And so we were going to do that. But then we were like, you know what? We don't want to let them know that would be like a defeat. We're not going to leave. They're not going to push us aside. And as we were watching the agendas, as they voted on the agendas, we could see pretty clearly that there wasn't a lot of agendas to be discussed at all. And so it was about this time, as we're going through the agendas, I always do. One thing I do is when I go there, I set up the camera and I grab the agenda of what they're going to be speaking about. And I try to, as thoroughly as I can, read them. And, you know, so the first thing they did was they got to liquor licenses. And what I saw there with the liquor licenses really burdened me. I know this must happen every day in a city council all across the United States, but I've never seen this happen before in real life. And so essentially what happened is there was one liquor license that they did not want to approve. And their reasoning was, because, you know, it's just a troubled neighborhood and we don't want a liquor license in a troubled neighborhood. Now, that might sound good to you. That might sound like, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, it's a bad neighborhood. You don't want to have liquor license there. But I just want you to think, what if you owned that business? What if that was your business and the government said, you know what? We don't like you types around there. We're going to just shut you down. Shut down your family. And, well, that's what happened. I'd like you, to watch this. And well, it's kind of hard to hear.
I have a beer and wine license, trying to get a beer and wine license. I've been in the business for about a year right now. and I've never had any problems. You know, the place is no problems, no, in the area, everything is great. So I don't know what others' concerns. I think there's a gentleman who owns a liquor store nearby. He put a complaint, and we have no problems at all. Like I said, the place is great shape, and we make sure everything is intact. No problems at all. So that's why I'm trying to get to improve my business. You know, I want to help my family. That's all I do. So I want to see if any problem to be approved.
So here you have a business owner. He has a liquor store. I think he does other things too, to make money. I think he was saying that he has a U-Haul. He rents out U-Hauls or whatever. But anyway, the ultimate point was that I guess there was a liquor store in the area owned by another individual that made a complaint. He's never had any complaints. He's never issued any complaints. There's never been any problems from his store. His store was run well. And you see here, he's saying, I just want to make a better life for my family. I just want to make a better life for the people who God has entrusted him with. He just wants to run a business. He just wants to sell alcohol. I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. I don't think he has a problem with people selling it. So we're watching this, and I was just like, well, they're not going to take this guy's business away. But then again, these are important issues when babies are being murdered in our city. We have to worry about the problems with alcohol.
I don't have any questions for the applicant. However, I have received phone calls and emails about the area and how the community is trying to clean up the area because it is a challenged area. Mm-hmm. And a motion to disapprove the liquor license.
Second.
We have a motion to disapprove based on neighborhood concerns and the prevalence of liquor in the neighborhood and a second. Any additional questions? Roll call.
DeCiccio?
Yes.
Guevara?
Yes.
Mendoza?
Yes.
Nowakowski?
Yes.
Pastor?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Waring?
Yes.
Gallego?
Yes. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. We just took away your business. Thank you. We just took away your livelihood. Thank you. We just took the way that you can support your family. Thank you. What in the world? Why would they do that to somebody? This is very clear in scripture. This is just, you own your own property. The government doesn't get to dictate what you can buy and sell. This is, they robbed that man of his ability to be able to support his family. And not only that, it's a poor area of town. It's a bad area of town. So not only that, they took away the jobs and taxes for they could have stolen, I guess. They took away from a good area. They took that. Sorry, I'm so mad. I'm not even speaking straight. They robbed that area of jobs. That man probably was going to hire people in that area. His business might get bigger and he might put up more stores and provide more jobs. And we wonder why poor communities are suffering. Because the government is taking jobs and they're robbing people of their business. So I bring that up because that was just one of the things that happened. And this is why I'm more convinced than ever that we have to go to our city council meetings. We have to go and speak to our city council meetings and let people know about this awful tragedy that is happening right now. This awful, awful thing. They stole that man's livelihood. They stole it. And just for clarification, let's see if I can get I want to find out her name that was the one. She's in District 8. And Felicita M. Mendoza, Councilman Mendoza. Councilman Mendoza, So Councilman Mendoza is the one that robbed that man of his livelihood. And yet, although every city council member unanimously agreed in favor with her, which is interesting because Councilman Sal, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Councilman Sal has said that he's the most libertarian on the whole city council. But he just voted to take that person's livelihood away. And that's a tragedy. And I'm really discouraged and upset about the events that took place with that man. And I believe the name of his business was called Smokes R Us. And so, look, here's the thing. I know a lot of those businesses might be shady, or they might be they might not cater to the best people or sell people the best products. They might not be, you know, JCPenney's or Apple stores in that neighborhood. But that man was running a business and he was providing for his family. And it's immoral what the city government did. So I bring that up to say that I was pretty mad at this point in the meeting. So they've already cut off our ability to speak at the beginning, which is a real problem. And we're going to get into why that's a real problem in a minute. But it's a real problem, especially for a city council meeting that meets at 2:00 in the afternoon during a workday, for them to force someone to come an hour early to make sure they sign up in time and then spend their whole afternoon in their meeting until they can speak at the end after some of the city council members have probably already got up and left. It's a problem. And so they did that for the quorum. And then I noticed as I was reading through the agendas that it said that they're going to propose a rule change to city council meetings. And I thought, well, this can't be a coincidence. So I ran to the back, to the lady at the back, and I said, can you please hand me the city council rule that they plan on changing? And they sent it to us. She gave me a sheet of paper with it on it. And it read that they're going to be pushing the city council citizen comments to the end of the meeting. Now, there's nothing wrong with them moving it to the meeting if that's how it's always been. And I don't like the idea of it being at the end of the meeting anyway, no, even if other cities are doing it or whatever, just because I think people should be able to go there, speak their mind, and not have to spend their entire day to be able to speak to the city council. I think it should be as easy as possible. But they wanted to do this one specifically because they thought it would affect us, that they would stop us, that we would stop going there every single time. We've been going there since November. Every 2 weeks, we've been at the city council meeting and we've been talking to these people and letting them know that they are killing children in their city and they need to do something about it. They need to pretend that the babies that are being murdered have a liquor license in an area of town that they don't like. And so this was our first meeting with Kate Gallego as she's wearing Planned Parenthood pink. And trust me, that is not a coincidence. As she's wearing Planned Parenthood pink, she comes into this meeting and she tries to stop us from speaking. And so so after I read that this is what they were doing, I ran to Zach, our elder, and I said, this is what they're doing. And I'm trying to explain it to him. And I'm just like word salading what's happening because it like hits me like boom, it just hits me. And I'm trying to explain to him and he's like not getting it. And I'm like, dude, like we have to speak right now. Like we have to speak on this agenda item. So I run to the back again and I write my name down to speak on this agenda item. And it's almost like as soon as I handed them the card, they called the agenda item and called my name to go speak. So I don't even really know what I'm going to say, honestly, at this point. I don't know what I'm going to say. And so I just remember walking by James White and I said, hand me the microphone as I go down. And he hands me the microphone and everyone's looking at me like, wait, Marcus wasn't speaking today. We had other people. Why is Marcus? Like, I thought someone else. What is happening? This isn't citizen comments. And like, I just have these eyes on me or whatever. I'm like, I'm just doing it because I was mad. And so anyway, this is what happened as a result of this. And we're going to talk through the councilman's response later. But here's what I said.
Mark deposed. Oh, I'm sorry. Please read the title.
Item 108, Ordinance G6580, an ordinance amending Phoenix City Code, Chapter 2, Article 2, Rules of Council Proceedings, Rule 3B, pertaining to the order of business for formal meetings, and Rule 8, pertaining to citizen comments.
Apologia Church, and this rule that you guys are doing today, it should come to no surprise that you're removing the amendment, if I'm correct, you're removing that the citizen comments will be at the beginning and you're placing them to the end. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that what yes. It should come as no surprise that my church, Apologia Church, has come here and we have spoken against abortion for since November or December. And the first day that the Planned Parenthood supporter, the one that Planned Parenthood endorsed, the mayor, has called a quorum to silence us from speaking. Apologia Church, can you raise your hands? We are here to let you know that we will not deal with the way you treat women and babies in this city. We will not deal with it, and we're tired of it. And we reject this rule that's to silence us and to push us away so that it makes it harder for people with jobs and with kids to come here and speak against the city council. It's a shame, and it's on purpose. It's on purpose, and you know it. You know it. And God is going to hold you accountable for it. It is no coincidence that this has happened today on Mayor Kate Gallegos' first term. And we have people from out of town here that are waiting to speak, and they haven't been able to, and we have children. And now you're trying to propose this so that it happens every single week. And it's not just Apologia Church that's affected by this. It's people who take time off of work to come when they can to just give you a moment, and you're making them have to sit through an entire meeting before they're able to do it during the middle of the day. And it's tyranny, and God will hold you accountable to that. And we're here, and we're still going to be speaking no matter what time you move it to.
And there's my church, not clapping or anything. They're true Reformed Baptists just sitting there. Someone came up to me today, actually, and they were like, you know, I really wanted to clap, but I didn't know if we were able to. And I was like, I wish you would have. I think people were just kind of shocked because everybody was just trying to like take in what was happening because it was just thrown there. And like by God's providence, I pulled it out like at the very last minute. Like God let me see it like at the last, and I've already read the agenda like twice and I just missed that one. What a blessing from God. I was able to speak on that. And I wasn't trying to steal the show or anything. I just felt as a citizen that something needed to be said at that moment because it was very clear what was happening. And, I want to break down, Councilman Sal's response to me. He issued a response and, I don't know if I'm allowed to respond to his responses. I already walked away at the time, but in the future, if I'm allowed to respond to the responses, then I'll probably stay. I just need to figure out the rules in that case. Maybe somebody can let me know. But here's Councilman Sal's response, and we're going to break this down to show his inconsistency here.
Thank you. Any council member comments?
Mayor, I'd like to respond. One, I'm pro-life, so I'm very sympathetic. But this is
I'll stop here. He says that he is pro-life and he's very sympathetic, but he hasn't done anything to save the lives of children in the city of Phoenix. So just saying you're pro-life doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. When children are dying, when babies and humans are dying, saying you're pro-life doesn't mean anything. Being paid by the Center for Arizona Policy or being endorsed by the pro-life groups of Arizona, it doesn't mean anything to me when there are children dying in your city and you're taking the business away of a man who sells liquor because you don't like his neighborhood. So don't tell me that you're pro-life, Councilman Sal. Don't Don't tell me that you're pro-life when you just robbed a man of the ability to support his children. Don't give me that. Let's continue.
This is an administrative move, and the reason why it's being done is that there are other individuals that have been trying to get in, and this has been going on every week. We have other individuals that have business that they have to attend to. They have to be here in that meeting, that single meeting, and that they had to wait on these public comments. It's
okay. Notice what he said.
public comments.
Just no. Notice what he said. He said. He said that this is because of you. You guys have been coming here, and there's other people that have business to attend to, and they have to wait on these public comments. So that's very important for what's about to happen. He's pro-life, but this is an administrative move because of what you guys are doing. Okay, keep that in mind.
It's whether it's at the beginning or the end, it doesn't happen but much more than an hour. I mean, if you know it's going to be within an hour, just come a little later.
Okay, I'll stop there. You can't come later. This is important. If you come later, you'll miss your spot to sign your name because other people come. So to say, well, hey, you know, just come later. Well, I can't, because if I come later, those citizen comment cards have already been filled. And so that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So now it's not just a matter of coming later. You still have to come early, and you have to sit through the entire meeting. Now, let's not talk about abortion. Let's say you're just a citizen who has a genuine concern and wants to address their city council, and they work during the day. These meetings are at 2 o'clock during the day, 2:30 during the day. And if you want to speak, people start lining up around 12:30 or 1 o'clock to be able to speak. So from 1 o'clock all the way to the end of the meeting, I didn't even get home till after 5 o'clock yesterday, and I just left straight from the city council because of traffic. So it's your whole afternoon. You're going to have to take off work. Now, there's a lot of people that they've come there and then they take a lunch break and they go and they get there and they speak and they leave. They do it on their lunch break in the area. They just walk there. Whatever. But they've stopped the ability for people who have to work during the day to be able to do that. I mean, if you want to have it at the end, that's fine. But can we at least have it like at a normal time when people aren't working, like most city councils do, like around 5 or 6 o'clock? Can we at least do that? So anyway, so he's not being honest there in terms of just come later. Well, because he knows if we just come later, we won't be able to have a slot reserved for us.
So at the end of the day, it is an administrative move. I don't believe that this is anything that was contrived at all, because we've all talked about it at some time or another, of moving the public comment where it's continuous. The way it was in the past is you'd have a little bit at the front, a little bit at the end. Who knows who got selected, who didn't get selected. So now everything's done continuously, and it's done more orderly. I'm going to be supportive of this motion for that reason. Again, I consider myself to be pro-life. A strong supporter of that, of the movement, and I understand what's going on, and I do see this as a situation where we have individuals that need to be here on a daily basis, not a daily basis, but come in here to do and conduct that business, and it's done quickly, and it's being able to move on. So that way, whatever the messaging is at the end, it is that. Thank you, Mayor.
So, guys, you guys at Apology of Church are interfering with our business. He couldn't be more clear. This was a motion made because they don't like what we're saying. This was a rule change to try to stop us from being there. And it's not going to work. It sucks, but it's not going to stop us. They don't, if they think that's going to stop us, they got another thing coming. There's a lot more they would have to do to stop us. And this isn't the end for us. This isn't the end. And anyway, let's continue with the vote, because I think that's important.
Thank you, Councilman. This will bring us in line with most of the cities in Arizona. Any further comments? Roll call.
DeCiccio?
Yes.
Guevara?
Yes.
Mendoza?
Yes.
Nowakowski?
Yes.
Pastor? Stark? Waring?
Yes.
Gallego?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, so it was a unanimous vote to silence the people, to do something to try to stop the people from Apologia Church from speaking there every single city council meeting, but it won't work. So all that to be said, you're probably asking, why are you talking about this if you... the people listening to this are not in Phoenix. Why are you talking about your city council if you're not in Phoenix? Why do I in Alabama or Texas or Idaho, why do I care? And I don't expect you to care about what's happening in Phoenix, but it is important that you know what's happening at a very local level. And I think the Bible gives us a reason that's important. And so if you look at the Bible at Exodus 18:21 is pretty clear. It says, "Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens." So you see there, first off, Mayor Kate, it says to choose men, and I think that's very important she is pretending to be a man when she is in the role of mayor. And I know she's not going to like to hear that, but it is absolutely true. She pretends to be a man when she functions as a mayor. The Bible says to choose men from among you, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, and hate a bribe. And those are the standards for any elected office. Those are the standards for not just the President of the United States. And this is why. This is why it's not the standard for the President of the United States. For choose over the people as chief of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Notice how local it gets. Notice how God is saying that the best form of government is government that is done locally. And then, of course, this gives you an appeals process, too. So someone who is rolling over the tens can, if there's a ruling they don't like, they can appeal to the one who rolls over 50s and then up and up and up the line. So there's an appeals process there. It's very localized a form of government. And this is how it should function. Everything we look at, well, what's the President of the United States going to do? How is Donald Trump going to help me and my family? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing Donald Trump's not going to do. He's not going to take away your liquor license because he doesn't like the neighborhood that you live in. He's not going to do it. But Mayor Kate Gallego, she will. The other councilmen will. The other councilwomen will. They'll vote unanimously to take your liquor license away. And that is why we as Christians, we have to be involved. We got to start going to the city council meetings and shutting this sort of stuff down. Out of love for my neighbor, I want to deal with this. Out of love for my neighbor. And so, and I'm not done. That guy who runs the liquor store, I want to help him. And I think I have a way to do that. And so again, I love my neighbor, not just the babies. I love my neighbor who has a liquor store that is stolen from him. And I'm gonna see what we can do to help him. And anyways, guys, I just want you to think about this and pray about it and get involved in local politics. Get involved in your local city council meetings. If you're able, run for city council. Be like Randall Pierce on This Is Us and run for city council and fix the problems. Although I think he kind of wanted more liberal solutions to fix those problems. But that's another issue. And he has a gay child. But sorry, that was a spoiler for This Is Us. But just watch the show. So anyways, that's all I have to say during this episode. I'm really at a loss for words about how that meeting went down and what happened. And I'm really glad it went down the way it did, because it exposed people for who they are and what they really care about. And so anyways, that being said, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Law and Profits. And before you go, I want you to visit the Fight Laugh Feast Club and become a member. And when you sign up, make sure you hit the words Law and Profits. And from there, you help me out. You help yourself out by getting all sorts of amazing content. And most importantly, besides getting the amazing content like Toby Sumter's thing on Proverbs, you also get the satisfaction of helping build something amazing. You're taking part on the ground floor of an amazing media production house that has no fear, that fights, that laughs, and feasts. So anyways, that does it for this week's episode of Law and Profits, guys. Thanks for watching. Be sure to share and like and promote and tell people about this episode. And also send me a message. Go to facebook.com/lawandprofits and send me a message. Let me know what you think about the show. Let me know about things you'd like me to cover, topics of politics or what the Bible says about this or that. And I'd love to hear from you. Love to know how you're enjoying the show. And again, thanks, guys, for watching.